is an outline in the bulletin this morning for those who like to follow along. You're very welcome to do so. I noticed PA system, my battery went down again. It was left on, my fault. And so I'll try to talk loud enough for you to hear. If at any time, I know I'm getting older, my voice is getting weaker, so if any time you can't hear, just kind of hold up your hand, and I'll, well, that may not work because my eyesight's going too. I'll give it a try. But last week, I gave a lesson concerning, if I only had 1 year to live, what would I do? And I thought, well, I might as well follow it up with my eulogy and just tell you what I might hope would be said. Seemed like talking about one's decease or funeral might be inappropriate. But when Jesus was on the mountain, Peter, James, and John down below, in Luke 9, verse 31, it says, Jesus spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. So Jesus talked about his impending crucifixion, his death. In the text that was read to us this morning, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, you know, the time of my departure is at hand. So he spoke about his decease. Peter did that also in his second letter to his congregation in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, I think it's necessary, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things in remembrance. So I guess it would be okay to speak of one's decease. I know there's other people interested in my decease. This week I received a coupon in the mail from a cremation company that said, if I come in before September 15th, I can save $300. I think they want me to purchase the plan, not come in and be cremated. So I'm guessing that anyway. When you speak about eulogy, when we have one, that term is used for funerals, but by definition it means a speech or writing in praise of a person who has recently died. The idea is if you give a eulogy, if you're called upon to do that, you give a commendation. It means that you're going to speak well of someone. Or you're going to give them a blessing. Or you're going to use fine language, was one description in the dictionary. But we know that death's appointed to all of us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So when we think about, you know, my situation or the lesson today, my eulogy, what do I want to leave behind? Or what would I like to have remembered by those who speak or are called upon to speak? So I listed a couple things for your consideration. Number one, will I be remembered for good works? That's one purpose of Christian living. In Titus 2, verse 14, Jesus, who gave himself for us, the text says, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, yes, purify to himself a peculiar people, yes, zealous of good works. So there's a reason for our Christian living, and one part of that is to be zealous of good works. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9, it says, Beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. Ah, what are things that accompany our salvation? It says, Though we thus speak, God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you've showed toward his name
in that you've ministered to the saints.
So there's a good work.
And do minister. He says that we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. So we think about what should my life be? It should be zealous of good works and ministering or serving one another. So I hope that might be a remembrance when whoever preaches my funeral. Number two, a good name. Well, they remember a good name. In Proverbs 22, verse 1, it says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. The reason why the day of death is better than one's birth is because when we're born, we don't know the quality of life that we're going to live. But when we die, we're able to look back and see if we've lived a life that is characteristic of a good name. So in that sense, the day of death is better than the day of one's birth, that Solomon says. I want to live a life with a good name so that my death will be better than my birth. And my eulogy will include the thought that I've chosen the more precious item. The Bible, as you know, warns, doesn't take much to ruin a good name. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So does a little folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. We've all remembered the humorous story about the man, the diner, and there's a fly in his soup. Just one. And what asked the waiter, what's this fly doing in my soup? The waiter says, I think that looks like the backstroke. But just one fly? Don't want that soup anymore. You know, it's the same way, just a little foolish action may tarnish the character of one who spent building years, you know, building a good name. So the day of one's death, we want to be better than the day of one's birth, because now we've known how they lived. So I hope I'll be remembered for a good name. Number three, a faithful family. At my funeral, will the eulogy include the praise of leaving behind a faithful family? Will, if I go first, Christine and the boys and the grandboys, will they be on their way to a happy reunion with me in heaven? But I put in your notes, if we would leave such a faithful family, we need to start early. We're not able to make decisions for our family, for one another. But we will have a great influence on them. And to have a faithful influence on them means we're going to have to start early. If you haven't started early, it's not too late. But we want to start as early as we can. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. But at first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother, grandmother, and your mother Eunice. And so I'm persuaded that it's in you also. So if I'm going to leave behind a faithful family, I need to be sure that it begins with me. And that faith is given to our children and our grandchildren. Paul again told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. want to leave behind a faithful family, but it begins with me. I need to model that which I want them to become, so that there is a faithful family left behind when I die. Number four, a strengthened congregation. That's you. That's us. Now, I'm putting your notes, I spent the majority of my preaching years here, finishing up 35 years in another month or two. But I hope my eulogy includes not just the number of years that I've been involved, or my family, our family's been involved in this congregation. I hope it mentions the quality of years, not just the number. In Acts 18, verse 23, when Paul continues his journeys, it says Paul went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. So I want that to be characteristic of the ministry here, that you're strengthened. Paul counseled Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I know that I've been strengthened by others in this congregation who passed on. That's part of their legacy. I just think of some of my immediate family. I think of my parents, my grandparents. I'm third generation of faith. And I think of Christine's parents. Even after their passing 4 and 7 years ago, I still remember. Their influence has not diminished. There's a host of people who have worshipped with us that I still remember, and I know all of us remember. They've strengthened this congregation, not only just while they were with us, but they, being dead, yet speak through their influence. So I want to leave behind a strengthened congregation. I hope that's remembered. Number five. Hope I'm remembered by the salvation of souls. Just kind of think to myself, would there be any at my graveside to say I'm a Christian because of Brian's presentation of the gospel? Will one be able to step forward and say, I'm a Christian because of his teaching? And others, not just me. Say one plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. You think of that with anyone who's become a Christian. There's influence of family, friends, and those who have sat beside one another in the pews here. It's a great deal of influence in one's decision to become a Christian. But I just hope I'll be remembered. Someone will say, Brian, help me. Number six is a faithful life. You know, that's the best thing that can be said of a Christian. He was faithful to the end. And that's all that's required, beloved, is your faithfulness. Not the amount of talent you have or the numbers of whatever, but just are you faithful with what God has given? In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's it. In the Revelation 2, verse 10, Jesus, addressing the churches, said, be thou faithful till the end, and I'll give you a crown of life. Just faithfulness, no matter what's your talent or what's your ability, just be faithful in that. We are only accountable to what God has given us. May not be able to do what someone else is doing, but you be faithful to your ability, your talent, and be blessed. See, life is less about the number of our days and more about how we've lived. You know, Methuselah, the Bible says, lived 969 years. That's 350,000 days. But you know the Bible only speaks about the number of days of Methuselah? 350,000 days, and that's all the Bible mentions about him? The length or the number of days and that he fathered children? He lived the longest. I don't know what he did. So we think about, well, I've been thinking about my eulogy. What may be said at that time? I want you to think about yours. What will people say when it's time for them to say about you and your life that you lived? So Jim and Dennis, keep that outline. You're called upon to preach my lesson. I hope this will help me. Of course, they'll probably also use the time to get even for all the humorous things I've said about them. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. Not a member of the New Testament church, you're not a Christian. It's that time now to make that decision if you haven't done so already. If you've heard the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world, he sent a son. And you believe that message, and you're willing to turn your life around and confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son. You can be baptized for remission of sins. Rise to walk in newness of life. And from that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the invitation we always extend. If you're subject to it, not having done that before, please make that decision at this time. Let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If that's your decision, if that's your resolve, please make it and let it be known while we're singing this song together.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me.